fellow fiends. Welcome to another exciting episode of Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces. I am your host, Cassie Opea. Don't forget, you can find me every Friday on your favorite podcast listening platform and or YouTube with brand new episodes. You can also find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff at creepycases.spookyspaces. And if you subscribe to Patreon or Anchor, you get bonus content, you get a merchandise discount good for every purchase on the Wiccan Fae shop at pizzaandpigtails.com. You also get a thank you mention, which I always appreciate all the support, and also you get a thank you swag box. So head over to patreon.com/creepycases/spookyspaces or anchor.fm/creepycases-spookyspaces to get all of the information, sign up, subscribe. You can do it for as low as $5 a month. So definitely check out those different tiers. You can also support without subscribing. I have a Cash App and a Venmo. Cash App is the little dollar sign, COPEA, and the Venmo is at Cassie-O-PEA, and I'll throw those on the screen as well. And also, what helps the podcast is just liking, sharing, commenting, watching, basically all the things you do on a daily basis, definitely gets the podcast seen as well. Buying things in the merchandise shop, the Wiccan Fae shop at pizzaandpigtails.com, the candle line, and the Creepy Cases merch, that all also helps out as well. And if you are a business owner or a content creator and you're looking for new and exciting ways to get your name and product seen, I also have some budget-friendly ad space packages available as well. You can email me at creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com, and I can send you over all of the fun information on that. So without further ado, let's get started on this week's episode. Now, Charleston, South Carolina holds a very rich history. And now, mostly surrounded by pirates and war, it's always engaging and super fun history, but it's not always the most positive. Now, with the amount of deaths, you're bound to have lingering residents from the past. Now, located at 135 Church Street on the corner of Queen Street, which used to be Dock Street, in the historic French Quarter neighborhood of downtown Charleston, sits the Dock Street Theater. Now, originally built in 1736, and you know what I say about those older buildings, the older they are, the more history they have, and they're more prone to have spirits in the first place. Now, the building has actually gone through many ups and downs over the years, and from the crazed lady in the red dress to the lady in white, and even the famous actor's spirit, the tales of hauntings in this building grow with every visit. So join me now, grab your tea, grab your coffee, your beer, your wine, whatever your poison is, and join me as I tell you about the spooky space that is the Dockside Theater. On February 12, 1736, the Dock Street Theater opened its doors with the performance of George Farquhar's play, The Recruiting Officer. It was actually the first building to be built exclusively as a theater, and it also premiered Flora, which was the first opera performance in America. Now, the beautiful architecture, you know me with my architecture, was a major change from what the city was used to, and it was typically the first stop on visitors' itineraries. Now, sadly, the first rendition, so to speak, of the theater didn't last long. After 4 years, the theater fell victim to the Great Charleston Fire of 1740, as most of the French Quarter did. Now, I also can't confirm because in my research, I've only found one source that stated there was another theater that was open in the same place but closed down in the 1780s due to another more grand theater being open just around the corner. So I haven't found anything else on that, and I searched a pretty good amount on this theater, so I'm not sure if that's legit or not, but possible. But in 1809, Mr. and Mrs. Alexander Calder rebuilt the site and opened up a hotel. They named it the Planters Inn after the Planter family, who stayed there each year during the horse racing season as they would travel to South Carolina for the horse racing. Now, the hotel was quite luxurious for its time, and the patrons loved to visit for the atmosphere and the parties. It was actually where the Planter's Punch cocktail was created. So that sounds like a fun time. It had amazing accommodations, and many historical figures actually either stayed there or even worked there. Civil War naval hero and U.S. Congressman Robert Smalls, who stole the steamboat in the harbor and then sailed it out past the Confederate-held Fort Sumter to turn it over to the blockading Union fleet, actually served as a waiter in the hotel's dining room before the war. And I'm not going to lie, just telling that little piece of history there was quite a mouthful. Now, Junius Brutus Booth, yes, the father of John Wilkes Booth, he was an actor at the time and actually worked at the hotel as well. Now, in 1835, the inn underwent a few renovations, which added the wrought iron balcony and sandstone columns. Now, during his time at the Planters Hotel around 1838 or so, one night after a performance, for reasons unknown, Junius Booth became enraged and attacked the hotel's manager, almost killing him. Now, once again, unfortunate events caused the site to close down. The American Civil War put a strain on the economies of the South, and so the Planters Inn actually had to close their doors yet again. And then in 1886, an earthquake caused significant damage, and it was left abandoned for nearly 50 years. So I can imagine, or I'm sure you can imagine, that it fell into quite the state of disrepair. Now, in 1935, the damage was just too much for one person to take on. And so, although the owner, Milton Perlstein, loved the building, he put it up for sale, and that was when the city of Charleston bought it. At the urging of Mayor Burnett Maybank and many other notable citizens, the building became a Works Progress Administration project. Now, this wasn't only to kind of create work for the unemployed in the area, but to rebuild and renovate the condemned structure. Now, the building was restored to the swinging days of the 1830s and 40s, and the plans for the inside to be back into a theater. Now, the hotel's grand foyer, foyer, how do you say that? They turned that into the foyer for the theater, and the hotel's dining room now serves as the box office lobby. Now, modeled on 18th century London playhouses by Charleston architect Albert Simons, the present Dock Street Theater's stage house and auditorium were actually built in the hotel's courtyard. The Dock Street Theater had its second grand opening on November 26, 1937. DuBose Hayward, author of Porgy, which was the inspiration behind George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, as the writer in residence. It's been successful ever since, undergoing major renovation from 2007 to 2010. Now, today, the historic theater continues to serve as a cultural touchstone. It hosts performances produced by the Charleston State Company and also has some of your favorite musical acts and concerts. I bet you're going to be quite shocked at the next statement, but Dock Street Theater is the most haunted location in Charleston. It's actually haunted by at least three ghosts. Now, I know that like three doesn't sound like much, but with all of the activity and with as many people and stories that you have with this site, you never know how many spirits there actually are, because just you might hear something and go, oh, it's so-and-so just being funny again, or it's so-and-so just making their weekly visit, or, you know, it may not even be the same spirit every time. So let's start with Junius Booth. Now, the interesting part is that Junius Booth didn't even die at the theater. He actually wasn't even in Charleston at the time. He was in Louisville, Kentucky. And I've heard different reasons as his cause of death. There was a long time, and I mean, it's still going around because I heard it recently, rumored that he was stabbed to death in the neck with a hot poker by his agent. However, his death wasn't as murderous, I guess. he died while traveling by steamboat from New Orleans to Cincinnati. He developed a severe fever that came on really quickly. They feel it was most likely due from drinking impure river water. And since there wasn't a physician on board, he died on the steamboat. So definitely not as, you know, exhilarating as being stabbed in the neck with a hot poker, but sad nonetheless. Now, people, including staff and patrons, claim to see his figure around the theater. And so I will say that maybe he just loved the theater so much that he just couldn't let it go, or it could just be a different actor spirit altogether. So they say that the male figure is mostly seen lurking behind the sets in the backstage area. Some say they have felt breathing on their neck and even someone touching their neck when they're completely alone. In 1990, a sound tech who was working at the theater said that he was bringing up a speaker from the balcony to the main stage when a cold wind blew past him and something brushed against him. And he explained that the doors were actually held open by a hook, but all four doors slammed shut at the exact same time. And he says that there were only two people in the building when this happened. Now, not much is known about the lady in white. She's rather mysterious, but she manifests herself randomly to no one really specific. They say that she's just kind of there and then she's gone. So no one knows if she was an actress, if she worked at the hotel, if she worked at one of the older theaters, if she was a patron. No one knows how she died. So there's a lot of mystery to that. But they say that she appears in a full white gown. Now, the most well-known and most frequently seen spirit is Nettie. Some say her name was Nettie Dickerson, and others state her name is actually unknown and she was given the name Nettie by staff members. Now, she came to Charleston from the countryside in the mid-1800s at the age of 25. She thought that the city would be exciting and sophisticated and the perfect place to finally find love and get married. Now, she got a job as a clerk in the St. Philip's Episcopal Church, and while she did a great job and she had a pretty good spot and everyone liked her, she felt like she just didn't belong and she didn't fit in, and she was looking for something a little more exciting. So, being the late 1840s, she was actually considered too old or past her prime, as they say. And as most girls were usually married and had children by the age of 17 at this time, and even younger than that. Now, it was also uncommon to marry below one's social class, and she wasn't really considered high class, so she didn't really have a lot of positive attributes going for her, which is kind of sad. But once she realized she wouldn't be accepted into the high society there, she quit her job at the church, took all of her money, and went to the most upscale boutique and bought a red dress that would catch any man's attention. And made her way over to the Planter's Inn and began seducing the local men. Now, Nettie had many men who wanted her. She was beautiful, she was intelligent, she had a great sense of humor, a wonderful personality, but none of them wanted marriage. Most of them were married, let's be honest. A lot of them were the husbands of women in Charleston. So she basically just became a prostitute. And she was actually a very popular prostitute. So she really thought she was going to find love and get her happily ever after. She would still go to church every Sunday. But of course, the women who, you know, knew that she was their husband's prostitute, they would cast her dirty looks or whisper about her and she would confront them. Now, this lost her a lot of business because obviously the men didn't like the fact that she wasn't being discreet. She was kind of throwing their business out there. And the women basically shut that down. Like, guess what? You're not going to be seeing her anymore. I mean, I get like the time period, but if you're seeing anyone but me, now with the amount of men who started to avoid her, Nettie became penniless and she was just distraught at how low she had fallen. And she snapped one night. After more rejection for love, she went out on the second floor balcony, her favorite spot, and despite a brewing storm, she began shouting disparaging remarks at the people below. Now, the priest, her former boss, who still had a pretty soft spot for Nettie, came over and tried to reason with her to come down safely. And as she shouted, "You can't save me," a lightning bolt struck her, killing her instantly. And I guess that literally was, I don't know if that was the universe just saying, nope, you can't, or I don't know. I mean, it was a wrought iron balcony, so I'm pretty sure that that wasn't the greatest place to be standing during a lightning storm. Now, Nettie was actually one of the first spirits reported being spotted at the theater, and many actors say that they've seen a woman in a beautiful red dress gliding across the floor. Now, those who have seen her face say she isn't beautiful at all, and many describe her as very zombie-like or something that you would see in a haunted house. And I mean, honestly, if she was struck by lightning, I don't see how she would be able to keep her beautiful features into the next life, unless that's just how she wants to manifest. Maybe she's punishing herself after death because of how her life was. I mean, you never know. Now, some say that Nettie manifests every day, and some say that she kind of comes and goes for months at a time. But if you would like to visit the stunning Dockside Theater, you can actually go visit and walk around. You can go and see it on your own. And don't forget that you can see shows. Please support your local performing arts and entertainers. It is something that we performers are very passionate about, and it is one of those things that I feel is definitely just a great, almost therapy for a lot of us. So definitely go see a show. You can also see concerts and maybe even a few ghosts. So that's always a plus. Why wouldn't you want to go see that? You can check out the Dock Street Theater page. Just go to charlestononstage.com/dock-street-theater.html for more information on the theater itself, on the area, and any upcoming performances. And that website actually has other places featured in Charleston, in the Charleston stage and everything. So definitely go check that out. And on that note, I will see you next crime. Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces with Cassiopeia is a Pizza and Pigtails production. All episodes are researched, written, and edited by yours truly. You can find new episodes every Friday, with bonus episodes coming out every other Tuesday. You can find the podcast on your favorite listening platform, or now you can find it on YouTube as well. Don't forget to follow along on social media, creepycases.spookyspaces, for all future news, updates, and maybe some content that you won't find on the podcast. Also, be sure to subscribe so you can get access to bonus content, early access to content, and a couple of little thank you swag. If you'd like to contact me about appearing on a future episode, maybe you would like to suggest your own creepy case or spooky space, or maybe you'd also like to reach out about ad space, you can reach me directly at creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com, or feel free to reach out through those social media platforms as well. And, as always, see you next crime.